Hello and welcome to Christ Today on this June 11th, 2022. Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing who you are, and we can see your great and awesome love for us, and we also see that you are the righteous judge. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity to for eternity in that heavenly place. Yes, Lord, and as we repent and as we seek to do your will. Lord, guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, we pray for the unsaved, especially those whom we love. Oh, Lord, there's so much that goes on. We learn from the past. Lord, guide us to understand and to make the best decisions we can for our future. And you know, everyone knows we can learn from history, which is his story, God's story. And we have the opportunity to learn over and over again. And we see people today that just cannot hardly look at the possibility that things will turn serious. I'm sure you know people, I do, who just can hardly read the book of Revelation because they say it's just too seriously bad to contemplate. And then there are people today who look around and they see the world, and they can hardly look at the world because they see the problems and they say it is just too bad to even contemplate. But that's what we do. I mean, we're human beings, and we look around us and see what we need to do for our benefit and the benefit of those whom we love. We make sensible examinations, and we make sensible decisions, and that's a part of what we do. Now, I'm going to be looking today at several things that are pretty serious, and there might be someone who wants to just skip today's broadcast because there are some pretty serious things that are, they're getting set up, ready to take place. And there's some people who just don't want to look at how serious things can get. But I'm going to look a little bit into it. I'm going to look at some information and help you to see, if you want to look into things, where you can find further information, because that's, I think, the best thing we can do, is to look for ourselves and try to examine what just might be coming our way. Some pretty serious things. And of course, we want to look at not just our own point of view, but look at the point of view of people who have a pretty good knowledge of things. And so we seek to find people who have other good opinions based on what they look at and research. I think that's a good thing to do. I like to look at other people's research, and I don't have to agree with them, but I can look and see if they have some pretty interesting points to look at. I like to do that, and that's what I hope that you do. You like to look at information and see what is sensible so that we can try to grasp what is ahead for us in the future. Now, only God truly knows the future of what will and what will not happen. But he does tell us things that are going to go on, and that is in several books of the Bible and, of course, in Revelation. And somehow we have to realize that trouble is coming. Lots of things are coming. And we can avoid it by having, well, maybe not in this life, but certainly in the next. And that's what we do with our relation with Jesus Christ. And Christ, God, guides us through this and through that in life. And we know that from the testimony of many people who have a prayer and they tell you of their prayer. And that this is what happens. And we can pray at all times for all the things that are in front of us. And we bring God, Jesus, into our thinking and are ready to listen to what he has to tell us to do. And that's what we do. We think and we try to do this appropriately, and we try to take advantages of the warnings that we understand and try to figure out what to do. Now, we can do that from plain old human history. We can do this from Bible history and Bible predictions of the future. And we can get a grasp of what it is wise to do, because there's patterns through history and even through the Bible. And that's what we do. We seek to understand the patterns so that we can grasp what it is wise to do in every way, politically, physically, spiritually, relationally, all of it. And it just takes something that we want to seek out understanding, and you could say information. Certainly, I'm a history guy, and I have looked at patterns for a long time. I remember in the olden days how I used to spend days, literally days, in the library, the university libraries, looking at books and trying to see what happened and what went on. Well, it was fun for me, and it was educational. I enjoyed it, and I know that not everybody would enjoy reading old books in a dusty old library, but I did. And we all get an idea of what we can see the future holds, what we can understand, and what we can recognize that we ought to do. And each one of us will have a different idea because we all have a different life experience. So we study the patterns and try to examine what we ought to be doing. And often enough, it is just a basic steps of preparation. And I always say water, food, and warmth. And of course there's more. There is always more. But that's for every one of us to figure out what we need. What other things do we need? Do we need paper and pencil for schooling, for notes? Do we need extra cooking oil? That's one of the things that is in shortage, kind of. And so we get to figure out, what do we need? What is on our list? What is our goal to have on hand for that just-in-case experience? And the world is going through so much nowadays, so many things that are in shortage and in demand, and we have to figure out how we are going to get through the troubles that are coming, the shortages that are coming, the violence even. This is something that so many people are seeing in our future, that the world will become a violent place. And if we do not have our spiritual anchor in Jesus Christ and our personal relation with Jesus, it will be easy to get off course and see or look at things in a way that is physical or in mental anguish or something. And we have to know that our rock is Jesus Christ, and upon the rock of Jesus Christ we will stand. Well, we do have a lot of things that are going on, and with my particular interest in history and preparedness, I have listened to all sorts of people, all sorts of opinions, and right now there are plenty of opinions, and you could say plenty of facts, and people analyze them in different ways. So, for analyzing the facts, they're all a little bit different. I do like Robert Kiyosaki and how he's the author of the Rich Dad Poor Dad book. He is well known, and he examines facts that are, well, I think it's a pretty simple way, but it's still good. It's still good. I also like the people who examine facts on a more, intellectual basis, or a different kind of analysis. Oh, like that author, James Rickards. He certainly looks into things a lot. He's written books, he's written The Road to Ruin, The Death of Money, Currency Wars, The Next Great Depression, and probably 20 other books. He's a thinking man, and I like to listen to him too. And then we form our own ideas of what we can do, ought to do. Now, recently, there has been another man with an opinion, Charles Niener. He has represented a lot of very well-to-do people. He deals with some very rich and famous people, and he has a small and devoted following of people who prefer precious metals, gold and silver. But he's a thinking man, and I like to listen to him too. Charles Niener has his own analysis. He doesn't tell us the whole thing about why he says this and that, but he comes up with some very interesting analysis. And so I like to examine what a thinking person has a conclusion about. And he is a thinking man who has good connections with some very rich people. And so he has access to information besides his own analysis. Now, he doesn't give you a real exposé of what his analysis is, but he does give you some conclusions of what he sees as coming in the future. And like I said, I appreciate thoughtful people, and he's a thoughtful person. Agree or disagree, it's okay. But the point is he has done a lot of thinking. He is well connected, and so I pay attention to what he has to say. And it's kind of shocking, his point of view about what will soon occur in the soon months ahead. His analysis has shocked quite a few people because he is well connected and he has come up with some pretty startling things that he sees in the future. Now, he's not alone. There's other people who have the same kind of a thought as he does. It's just that he has a platform to speak with certain people and express his view. Worth listening to, I think. And again, it's not that we have to believe anybody that says this or that, but I think it's a good idea to listen to people who are pretty smart and who has connections. And he's a person like that. So I would listen to him and what he has to say, believe it or not. But what he has to say about the future is that there are some very hard things coming, hard times. Now, he does speak in generalities. He has some things that are more particular in detail. But it was shocking for people to hear him say that he expects there to be a 30-year-long decline, a decline of really it's humanity, of civilization, of everything. The other thing that was so shocking that he said was that the Earth will lose 1/3 of its population. And by the way, that is 2.5 billion people. He said that many people will die. Now, he does not explain this, but it does remind me that I've heard this same kind of thinking before. There are a number of people who say this. Well-off, well-connected people have had the same kind of a thought. And they get it from different points of view. And you can see what point of view you would like to listen to more and pay attention to. Now, that's for you to do. I just say that there are people for you to look up and see what they have to say see if you agree or disagree, or recognize that if there is some truth to the way they're thinking, what ought you to be doing? Well, that's pretty simple. You take preparedness steps in ways that you would not otherwise have taken. Well, anyway, this Charles Niener guy is interesting. And another point of I just said about people who talk about a great population decline. I've talked about this a few years ago. There is a website called Deagle.com, and it claims to be an intelligence source for various government agencies and people around the world. So I don't know about them. I never could figure them out. But I do realize that they are a source that has been reported on, and people listen to Deagle.com and the great population decline that they talk about. They don't explain it in particular, but they have said something about there being an epidemic, a loss of food, which would mean famine. They do talk in general terms about what could happen, but it's not that they have a real explanation. I just bring them up because it is another source of talking about the huge population reduction. And of course, another one is that one with the Georgia Guidestones. They talk about it being essential to reduce the population of Earth. In terms of 14 out of 16 people, 15 out of 16 people have to die. That's what their Georgia Guidestones on the what they call Commandment Number 1, it calls for that. I don't mean I agree with it. I just mean there are people who really do believe such things. We have known them in the past. They have spoken publicly. And you can listen to them on their video, audio things. It's there. It's said. And there are people who really do believe that is the best and most important thing for the Earth, to reduce the population of Earth to one half of 1 billion people. And so... 1/2 of 1 million people. I mean, you can see this is just so dramatic that it's beyond our comprehension, and we cannot understand it, but it is part of the spiritual battle they are in. And if you have been listening for years to this kind of talk, you have heard people who have said, "Oh, dear listener, you don't have to take part in that battle of life and death. We, the leaders of the other side of the movement, will take care of these things. You don't have to do a thing. We will take care of it." See, that's a part of what goes on, but you have to have the eyes to see, the ears to hear. You have to look for information. It's there, but who wants to look? It's not fun to listen to these people. It's not fun to hear what they have to say. But it is something when we start getting people who are having a business opinion and who talk to the movers and shakers in our society, the big people, so to speak. It does give us a moment to think about what is going on and how did they even get these ideas. Well, in a way, we don't need to know. All we need to know is that they truly do hold these ideas to be important, and they want to reduce the population of the Earth, which is you and me and our families. That's who they want to see gone. It's those awful Christians. It's those people who just don't agree that the Earth is the goddess who must live, no matter what it costs humanity. This is a part of their philosophy. This is a part of their religion. And so it makes sense to recognize that this is a force that we will, one way or another, be reckoning with. And of course, we can hardly believe it. Why? Because we're decent people. But the other side doesn't have the same values. And they say that much of the population of Earth must, well, call it go away, call it die. Either way, that's what they're talking about. And you find this out when you research it. There's not a simple way of understanding it until you actually look at what they say. And it takes a little bit of doing to have that understanding that is not pleasant at all. But if you need to be convinced that there are people who really do want you and your family dead, they are people who believe in the darkness of this evil world, and they believe it, and they are all ready to take people out. There's a man who has written about this and spoken about it many times. His name is Russ Dizdar, and he is talking about the dark side of humanity and how there are people on the dark side ready to literally take leaders and Christians out of the way so that they do not stand in the way of the new dark world order. It's true, and we don't hear about it because nobody tells us. The pulpits don't tell us. The political leaders don't tell us. We have to look on our own. And it's not something that I want to look at, but I have had it put in front of me, and I have looked into it. It's awful. It's awful. But we have to have an understanding that this is a reality, and the enemy in front of us is real. This real enemy wants to steal from us, kill us, and destroy us. And, of course, that's the devil. And the people who think that they are doing good also will think they are doing God's service when they kill the Christian. And that's right there in the Bible. So there is an evil, and we somehow have to figure out that it's real, and it's going to come after us at one point or another. It's hard to believe it because we have had our protected lives, and we have enjoyed that ease and that protection for all of our lives. But we do know that God tells us there will be an apocalypse in the future, an apocalyptic future, and there are plenty of people who have said the same kind of things and not using Bible things at all. You know, there's a Vladimir Putin from Russia. He just said that the horsemen of the apocalypse have been released. Very interesting for him to say that. I can only guess what his Orthodox Russian Christianity has to say. I don't know. I don't know what his beliefs are, but I thought it was very interesting for him to say that the horsemen of the apocalypse have been released. Well, what is that to say? Is that to say that there's some pretty serious things that are getting ready to happen, and we better what? What should we do? Hide? No! Where's the hope in life? We still have hope in God through Jesus Christ, and that is what we share with the world. Our hope, and our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is in Christian morality and Christian love. That is where the hope is, in this life and in the next life. That is where our hope is. So, we do have worldly concerns, and we want to pay attention to look at what is going on. Obviously, do. We do. We see what's going on in Russia. We see what's going on with the international banking that we have tried to shut Russia out of. We see that Russia is turning off the natural gas to the Netherlands, to Germany, and to Denmark. There are some things that are pretty important. What would we do without natural gas? What would we do without electricity? I mean, you know that our grid is, in the past years, has been probed, and it is in danger of being shut off. Can you imagine a world without electricity? What would we do? Well, it could become a reality. Now, I'm not going to tell you that it's going to happen, but if you look at what has gone on and the warnings that we have had for a grid down problem and how it could come to be, we know we had better be prepared for all sorts of things that could come. And yes, we know there's war going on. It's brewing with China and Ukraine, and who's getting involved in that? The U.S., certainly. Well, all the NATO countries have been supplying Ukraine. And Russia has said that if the countries that are supplying Ukraine continue in what they are doing, they will become a target of Russia's military. So we've got that going on. We've got Taiwan going on. And you know that with Taiwan, China could do anything. Why, they have had the lockdowns in China for the last few months, and that has meant that our containers worth of materials that we have expected to receive from China have not been delivered. We have not received all sorts of things, from tires to replacement parts to anything we need. And one of the things that is just so shocking is when you think about our medicine, roughly more and less than 80% comes from China. Our prescription medication comes from China. And if we were to have a conflict with China, do you think they would continue to send us the things that we want, like our medications, prescription drugs? Don't bet on it. They would send fentanyl over, though, to kill our population. The point is we have things that are, well, they're in flex. They are moving. And we better know that there could be some pretty serious ramifications that are coming our way. And that means we get prepared with the basics. I don't know, maybe you're going to say, no, we need more, we need this and we need that. Well, fine, that's up to you, and I don't know how you're going to be able to pay for those things, but we all make choices about what is important and what we should do. And I encourage you to look at what is important and what you should do. Certainly, we have things that are just all on the edge of happening. Yes, with Russia, yes, and Ukraine. Yes, with China and with Taiwan. It's already happened with Hong Kong. Hong Kong used to have a celebration every year about Tiananmen Square. But this year and last year, nope, no celebrations allowed. Otherwise, those communist Chinese military forces that are in Hong Kong will find out who you are and target you. That's going on in the world. Things are going on. Yes, with wars, with rumors of wars. Yes, with all sorts of discrepancies all over the world. And they could come to this country too. Don't you forget that. We have an adversary in the world, and it is the dark forces of Satan. That's who's in the world. And so we can only guess what is being prepared for the world and for Christians. It's going to be tough, and we get to figure out what we should do. There's the world controls of the economy. the economy. I just was thinking of the Rothschilds family. And I've said this a few years ago. They are so entangled in the economic control of the world. But about 2.5 years ago, there was a Baron von Rothschild of France, and he said that the world will soon have a Great Depression, greater than the Great Depression that United States went through in the 1930s. And the source of this would happen because of sovereign debt. Well, it hasn't happened yet. Will it happen soon? Of course, we don't know, but we know that the principles of godly money systems have been violated. And so we can only guess what the consequences will be. But it is good for us to have a perspective of what just might happen. And with that perspective, we know that preparation is wise. Now, I just talked about it's not just one person who talks about preparedness. It's quite a few people who have talked about things that are going to happen. There have been banking, the banks, Morgan Chase Bank for one, Bank of America, Wells Fargo Bank, they all have their upper level clients, and each one of those groups have warned the upper level clients that trouble is coming. Yes, I guess the last one I heard was Jamie Dimon of Morgan Stanley Chase. But they are all telling us that in a few months, maybe in 6 months, maybe less, we will have a great change in our country and in our society, that there will be shortages of everything. There will be food shortages. The food price will triple. They are saying that violence will increase dramatically. And this is the thing that they are warning about. Now, I welcome you to look up Ron Paul also, because a few years ago, he could see the patterns, and he warned people in the same kind of a direction, that great difficulties would come to the United States. Great violence would come to the United States. Things would be very serious. So, sure, look up Ron Paul, look up any of these other people. I mean, they study the patterns. It's not hard to see. I've studied the patterns, too. I've been thinking how important it is to warn people for 5 years about what's coming, because the patterns show that there has to be a collapse. It must occur. It has occurred in every civilization, in every system of money and society. It's as sure as can be. And so we can look at the world systems and try to have a grasp of it. Or if you want, we can look at the Bible systems. And we can read Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21. They all talk about the troubles that are coming to the world before the end of the age. Very, very serious things. It is a pattern. It's a pattern that we can see from our own history. We can see it from biblical history. And so, what does it make sense to do? If you know these things are happening, if you know that there is conflict between the nations, have you heard, maybe you heard this, that China is willing and ready to fight the United States of America over Taiwan? And they're expecting to do this. They're expecting to do this. Now, what do you think will happen to everything that they ship to the United States? Do you think we will continue to get the prescription medicines that we have received from China? Do you think we will continue to get the tires and the starter motors and the hoses and everything else that we have relied on China for? No, we won't. Of course not. What would you do if there was a war and everything stopped? What would you do if the harvest of wheat stopped in Ukraine and Russia? Let me think how many countries. There are many countries, I forgot it was 10 or 20, that are no longer allowing the export of any foods that their country grows or produces. No more cheese, no more meat, no more whatever it is. No more wheat or soybeans. The countries are closing their borders so that they keep the food that they have harvested, because they anticipate a famine. That's the real world. That's also history. And that's also what the Bible talks about. Again, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew 24, Luke 13, Mark 13, Luke 21. They all talk about what happens at the end of the age. And you know that these things are going to happen. Maybe you need to read it again and say, oh, if that's our future, what are we going to do? Now, I'm a history guy, and I've looked at human history for so long. And there's plenty of people who are biblical history students. Now, I am too. And we can see that there are some pretty serious things coming. I mean, it's so plain, so factual. You can look at the conclusion, or you can look at what leads up to it. Any way you want to do it, you can see what our future holds. And we want to be sure that we stay oriented to God, Jesus. And don't look at the shiny gifts that the devil says, oh, here, we have these things. Look, I have a nice apple for you. No, we want to look at what is real with the big picture of choices and consequences. And that's just plain what we do. We do that just as it's human. But somehow we can't, or we have to remember that it's a big picture. It's not just looking at that shiny little apple right in front of our eyes that we can eat and taste and sure sounds good. No, we have to be very aware and be considerate of what worldly and Bible history tells us is coming. Hard times, tough things. And so what are you going to do to get prepared? Well, have a group. I think a mutual assistance group is one of the best things that we can do. And you get to figure out how to do that. I mean, we are all humans with our own ideas, and we all have our own beliefs about what makes sense to do and what we can do and who we want to associate with. Are we going to have a community of our church, of our neighborhood, of radio enthusiasts? I mean, there's no answer to these things except that somehow we need to have a group. It might be our family. It might be our extended family. But somehow a group and a community is more able to assist each other and get through some pretty difficult times. And that's what I want you to examine, to look at, and to do. You get to figure out what the groups are going to be, but somehow groups will make it through where individuals will not. And somehow we have to remember that we Christians have love in our hearts and in our actions. Christian love will hold us together. And yes, we are so thankful to God through Jesus Christ, and that is where we get our strength from. Our strength to show that love to the people around us and even to the world. Now, we all have to figure out what to do exactly. I don't have an answer for that. I know that there's a scripture in the Bible that those who do not work shall not eat. So, is it up to you to provide the food? No, I don't think so. I think it's up to each one of us to have a storehouse of food. And for that, well, we need godly guidance for what to do and how to do it. But we can do it. We have such a good possibility for us as Christians to show our love one to the other. And, I'll tell you a little story about a group of families, men, women, and children in Southeast Asia. They were the Hmong people who, after the Vietnam War, were ostracized and forced out into the jungle. And now I know these stories because I know Hmong men, and I've been told them personally about what happened and what they went through, the conditions. I had detailed conversations. Well, these men, families of Hmong, lived on the run in the middle of the Southeast Asian jungle. And they were on the run from, most particularly, the Laotian military, who thought those Hmong people were pretty good to target practice on and practice their fighting maneuvers on. And that was done. And they also would abuse the Hmong women if they ever caught one. They would kill. It was really terrible. But my point is that here, it's a community of thousands of people who lived in the jungle. They did not have food. They did not have ammunition. They did not have anything. They lived in the jungle, a very primitive life. And here they were able to help each other. They were animists, people who did not know Christ, people who had a worldly point of view. And still, look what they did. They helped one another. And that's my point. If here, non-Christian animists can live in the jungle and help one another, you better know that we Christians can live in some pretty hard, serious times, and we can help one another. I remember this story being told about if there was a man who needed to go on a mission, he would address the other men. And you see, the other men, oh, sure, everybody had a rifle in that group, but they couldn't manufacture ammunition. They had no bullets. So if a person had 10 or 20 bullets total for their whole life, they felt pretty good about having some ammunition. And so if there was a man who was going out on a mission, he would talk to the group, and the group might donate one bullet or two for what he was going to do. And they might donate some food for him to make it on his mission. And my point is, here, these non-Christian Hmong men had a love and a compassion for one another. And I want to say that if they can do it, we can do it. We, people who are Christians, who have the love of Christ in us, we can do it, and we can get through whatever is in our future. We have Jesus Christ within our hearts and our life, and we can do it. Now, this Hmong thing was about 20 years ago. Yes, it's still present-day history. These people were under threat of extinction because the armies really did use them for target practice. That was evil. But it was something that was real, and it was such a terrible abuse. So we know that if it happened then, it can happen again. And so it's a part of something that we want to remember could happen to us. It's recent history. Like I said, less than 20 years ago it happened. For real. I know. I've talked with the men who went through it. Well, anyway, the point is we can do it, and we need to have a sense of community as Christians. And that's what we do. We don't know what we're going to face. We don't know. And speaking about facing something, let me tell you about a news article out of Gravitas, out of a Indian news organization. They had a story that talked about China having drones that are all ready to be sent to Taiwan. And these drones would fly independently and photograph and identify individuals. And then the drone would shoot and kill them. Like, again, that was a news article out of Gravitas out of India. And it reminds me of, well, maybe you remember that old movie, Terminator, where there were hunter-killer robot drones that would hunt down and kill any humans. Well, is that what is going to happen with warfare soon enough? I invite everyone to look at the videos from General Dynamics and see what their robotic soldiers are able to do to identify a soldier or a civilian and any kind of a threat and kill that threat. It's astounding. It's astounding what they can do. So when there's this article about the drones that China has ready to be sent to Taiwan, yes, I believe it. And I just wonder if we're ever going to look back on the old days of warfare and say, oh, I wish it was like in the olden days when soldiers were against soldiers and it wasn't drones against human beings. Well, we don't know anything about the real fact of the future. We just know that there are these indicators of what very well could happen. And what we can really recognize as important is that we must rely on Jesus Christ and our born-again relation with Jesus Christ as we are devoted to obeying God, Jesus. That's what we do as we have our eternity settled in that heavenly place with Jesus as we are born again and devoted to Jesus. And that's the thing that is the most important part of what our future holds. Things can fall apart. Everything can happen. And we want to make sure that we stay in a close relation with Jesus Christ and not get too entangled with the world. Well, in a sense, that's the message for this broadcast today. And, oh, I think of Ezekiel also. Ezekiel who tells us that we must warn the people. See, that's what I wonder about me. If that's what I have to do is warn the people about the trouble that is coming. Otherwise, it will be upon my own head. So I see the trouble coming, and I say, look out, everybody, look out. There's some really serious things that are coming our way. You can see it from a worldly point of view. You can see it from a historical point of view. You can look at it from a biblical point of view. Trouble is coming. And so pray and ask God Jesus to show you what you need to do to prepare for the trouble that is coming. I don't exactly know what to tell you. All I do is can see so many possibilities of trouble coming our way. And so somehow we have to be ready for whatever is coming. And so use your brains and your emotions and your prayer life to seek and understand what you are to do as things fall apart around you, domestically and globally, as war happens, as every sort of difficulty comes our way. We have every sort of difficulty, from financial insolvency to our own personal financial. And when you get supplies, don't go into debt. Debt, there will always be the debt collectors, and they will happen on an individual basis, and they will come to the governments to collect their debts, and the government will have to pay them in assets. You know, whether those assets are what the government owns, or whether it's the labor of the people, or the water systems and electrical systems, that the debtors can say, oh, we have to double the rates so that we are paid back. See, all those things are a part of our legal system, and they are going to continue. All this will continue, and we want to be sure not to be in debt to the financial system. I think that our best way of getting through all of these difficulties is to have a group that we can help and can help us. It is a mutual assistance group. And that's, I think, what we will, each of us, need to be a part of. Will it be our church? Will it be our block, our family, our neighborhood of people with special interests? I don't know. But somehow, I think that is the only way that we're going to get through this. So just consider, who would you want to have in your group? Think about the people who would be get-along people. Think about what you need to do to be a valuable person within that group. I mean, that's what we all have to just think about. What makes us helpful as a husband, as a wife, as a child, as a relative, as a neighbor? How can we be helpful and support the people through Christ's love? That's what I think we each have to do. And then we will find a different way of doing it. Each one of us will. It's going to be different for each one of us. And somehow we have to remember that a calling, each one of us is called to prepare spiritually and prepare physically. That's my point of view. As we prepare to live in this world and to preach the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ and what it takes to be saved. See, that's really our goal and our desire. And I think that's what we each have to do, to consider what we are going to do for the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. So always keep that in mind to grasp what it is that we want to have a goal of to do. We might have to be instructed on that for what we do. And there's so many people who expect to be saved out of the trouble, and there is a huge difference of opinion because it's not clear in the Bible. You cannot make it clear to say that a rapture will happen and we will avoid the trouble. Okay, we'll avoid the great tribulation. That's not the trouble, and that doesn't mean that our country won't be overrun and we will have invading forces in our country. It doesn't mean that we won't have starvation. It doesn't mean that we won't be sent to work camps like the Jews were in World War II. It doesn't mean that we're not going to go through hard times. And somehow, we have to just grasp and accept that there could be these hard times that are coming. And that is not what God is talking about, to rapture us out of the trouble. You see, the Bible has a history of having the God's people in the midst of trouble, right through it. And then God is, through God's people, through the trouble. They're not removed from the trouble. Now, this is a huge topic that people have great disagreement on, but you better be sure that you verify this in the Bible and make sure that you're not doing the Bible gymnastics to go here and there to make the Bible say what you want it to say. Anyway, that's my opinion. And I want to thank you for your prayers for me and for this broadcast and for the people who are godly people. We all need prayer. The pastors need prayer. Our families need prayer. The people who don't know Jesus need prayer. And I hope that you are in constant prayer for the people who are in need of Jesus Christ. Certainly, you can write to me and always get my free preparedness brochure, a pamphlet. And so if you send me a stamped self-addressed envelope, I will get that right back to you. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And you can listen again to any past broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org. And that's all lowercase and no spaces. Please remember to pray for one another. We all need prayers. And your prayers are very important. So God bless you. Thank you for your prayers for me and this broadcast. And may you walk with God. And may God walk with you. Please prepare spiritually and physically.